master. But by the time I had reached my senior year, I had second thoughts about pastors. I didn't like the pastors I saw. I didn't like the pastors I was sitting under week by week, and I said, I don't want to be one of them. And so I began to think about other careers that I might be interested in pursuing. And of course, one of those careers was law. Why? They got to argue and they get to make money, both of which I liked. So by my senior year, I'd made a decision I was going to go to a law school. I was not going to go to a Christian college. And I was going to go make money. Our senior trip was to a school called Columbia Union College in Tacoma Park, Maryland. I walked onto that campus and I walked through a stone arch. And on that stone arch was written the words, Gateway to Service. And as I walked through that stone arch, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as he would speak audibly. And he said, I have chosen you to serve me. I knew I had to come to that college. My brothers had gone to a Midwest college out in the country. And here I was coming to Washington, D.C. I was a country boy. I had no business in the city. That one quick word from the Holy Spirit totally changed the course of my life. I looked up many years later, and the Lord said to me, there's your wife, go meet her. I walked over to Jan. Now, I know she's my wife, but she doesn't know she's my wife. What do you say to your wife who doesn't know she's your wife? What do you say to a woman you don't even love, but you've been told you're going to marry? That terminal event totally shifted my life. It wasn't very long until I was deeply in love with her. And then the Lord grabbed a hold of her and said, now you're going to stand beside Ray and preach. She came to me terrified. She said, the Lord just spoke to me. What did he say? He said, I had to preach. Are you going to preach? No. She's preaching. Terminal transition places in our lives where suddenly God grabs us and nothing is the same again. That's what needs to happen in this house today. God needs to grab your heart and speak into you a word that will cause you to be different when you leave this house today. Genesis, the 12th chapter. In the life of Abraham, there were three transition points. There were three terminal events where the whole life of this man suddenly shifted and changed. We find that first event in the 12th chapter, the book of Genesis. Abraham was a part of a pagan family. He was a descendant of Shem, but he was not following the Lord God of heaven. They had walked into total rebellion against God. They worshiped idols. And God, in his awesome power, came to this man, and this was the message, chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave all of salvation. Many people respond in a halfway manner to the call of God and think that means that they're saved, but they're not. Salvation does not come by a half-hearted response to the call of God on your life. Salvation comes when you are made righteous. Just do what I want. I'm childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. You've given me no children. Oh, and now you've got it. The person who is called to follow Jesus and does so in a half-hearted manner justifies himself by making accusations against the Most High. You are unfaithful, God. You are untrue to me, God. I can't trust you, God, because you don't do what I want you to do. You don't correct the people I want you to correct. You don't straighten the ones out that I need to have you straighten out. And especially, God, you don't straighten me out the way I want you to. I just want to wake up in the morning and be different. I want to be happy and have a fulfilled life and have a happy family and have a happy fence around my house. I just want to live the normal American life, God. Just let me be normal, God. And the word of the Lord came to him. Watch out when the word of the Lord comes to you. This man will not be your heir, verse 4, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. It's like, Abraham, you don't want any more promises. Okay, let me give you a real promise. He took him outside and he said, look up to the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. Now here is one of the most amazing verses in all of the scriptures. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. In other words, one of the great gifts of God is when suddenly in your soul, for no apparent reason, you just suddenly say, change person. to love me? Go ahead, husbands, try that with your wives. See if that accomplishes the purpose. So God comes and he says, look, now you have to walk before me and be blameless. What is the first law? Come on. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So if I'm going to walk blameless before God, I have to love him with my whole heart. So God is now saying, okay, from now on you love me perfectly. Oh, I'm uncomfortable with that, are you? On what basis can God say to Abraham, I order you to love me? Y'all comfortable with that? Is it okay if I come to you and say, okay, you love me, or I'm going to cut your feet off. I'm going to throw you into hell if you don't love me. Then God, why didn't you just make me a machine, program me to love you? Yeah, sometimes I wish he'd just do that to me, do you? Just make me behave, God. But then I always was told God didn't want machines to love him. He wanted people to love him. So here we have this conundrum. How can God command us to love him? Perfectly. I mean, this is not just love a little bit. This is not just rejection on every hand, and God is coming to you and saying, will you believe me? Will you believe that I can rescue you? Will you believe that I can redeem your family? Will you believe that I can redeem you? Will you believe me? And all he's waiting for is an answer, yes, to get the redemption process started. Depends on human tradition and the say a man was insane to want to go to the garbage can when he could feast at the table. But the basic principles of this world have so blinded us that we have imagined there's no out for us, there's no rescue for us, there's no way out of this dead-end situation that we're faced with. This marriage is dead. There's nothing I can do to bring it to life. I might as well get a divorce. This marriage just can't happen. My body is dying. I can't live. It's impossible. I'm never going to be able to go to work and represent Jesus because out of me comes this filth. I'm helpless. I can't change it. Jesus knows that. Jesus is saying, let me step in. I'll change it. I'll change you. See, when we come together as a national prayer chapel and we don't have a heart to pray, I know it's because we're so full of the world's garbage. And I'm asking today, would you cast off the world's garbage? Will you turn your televisions off? Will you turn aside from everything that drains from you? Anything that drains from you, the presence and power of God, will you turn it off so that you can have eyes that see and ears that hear? In the Narnia series, in the last book, it's the story of the great battle. After the battle is all over, there are some little elves there, stubborn little guys, bitter of heart, angry, accusing Anselm of every unclean thing. They're handed a plate of beautiful food to eat, and they cast it down on the ground and say, that's garbage. And they go over and they begin to pick up the garbage and say, this is the feast I want. I don't want to get to heaven and say, this food is garbage. But of course you know that garbage is only defined by what we like. One defines one food as garbage and another defines it as a king's meal. This is why we have to have Jesus come in and circumcise our hearts so that we think the way Jesus thinks. When we see his food spread, we say, that's a banquet. When we see the devil's food spread, we say, that's garbage. That happens when Jesus circumcises our hearts. So today, will you let Jesus begin this circumcision process? You understand what's entailed? Just so I can have truth in advertising here today, I have to read it for you. I'm obligated to. Chapter 6 of the